is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:45. Thanks so much for tuning in to Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors. This is our New Year's Eve edition, and I should pass this along because everybody knows better, but please don't drink and drive. Be safe, okay? This is one of those nights where everybody's going to be out and about, and there's going to be check stops, so be safe and take a cab because, you know, it's going to be a great night and you want to make it a great morning too. So World Junior Championships are underway. There's all kinds of things happening. Four games today. Finland plays the Czech Republic. The Czechs, of course, are the new stars after last night's game against the USA. And Masaryk, the goaltender, is a superstar in the city of Edmonton. His reaction, I thought, was refreshing. You know, if these kids play their hearts out like that and have such big victories and it's an exhilarating moment for them. You can hardly be angry at them for showing that. And I think it's a good thing for the sport to see that young man wearing number two, so excited about his team moving on and posting a big victory. Finland, of course, is a very good team as well. Jonathan Willis mentioned at the first hour of the show that he felt that the Czechs were the better team. And so I guess they would be the favorite going in. But I wouldn't discount Finland. They have ridiculous skill up front, and they're an interesting team as well. Later on today, Switzerland plays Slovakia. Oilers fans, of course, have been paying attention to Martin Marincin and Gernat, the young Kim Gernat, the young defenseman as well for that team, and they're a good team. Likely they won't be going anywhere as far as medals are concerned, but it's been interesting to watch them. Tonight at 6 o'clock right here on Team 1260, actually pregame at 5:30, USA and Canada, a game that had been built as kind of the pinnacle of the round robin. As it turns out, it isn't, because the Americans lost a couple of games during the round robin. However, USA and Canada, there's a kind of a rivalry there that I don't think will change too much of the situation as far as anger and effort is concerned. I think there's going to be a lot of hard hits, and it's going to be a nine-bell kind of a hockey game. Canada will have a tough test. They get 2 days off after this game, and then they will play in a semifinal game, and of course, hopefully play Thursday for the gold medal game. And things are really, really looking good for Canada right now. As it turned out, the tournament worked very well for them in the round robin portion, and so when they get to Calgary, it should be not smooth sailing, but there's a real chance here that they'll have maybe one difficult game to get to the gold medal, and that'll be the gold medal game. And Sweden plays Russia tonight. That's a big test, too, for the Russians, probably their biggest test of the round robin. And Sweden still has a chance, obviously, to go in as the number one seed from the round robin if they win tonight. But the Russians have some injury issues, Grigorenko, but I heard Guy Flaming said today that he felt that the Russians just had too much offense and they would win the day against Sweden. So four games on tap in the World Juniors today. And you know what? It's been an exciting... I have to say, every year I go, well, maybe I won't pay too much to it. But there's so many good stories about the entire World Juniors and these young players that I'm totally caught up in it. And I'm absolutely looking forward to tonight's game between Canada and the USA. Now, in the National Hockey League this afternoon, at the end of the first period, New Jersey up on Pittsburgh 4-2. The Devils playing much better of late. It looked as though they were, done or at least down early in the season, but they've come back and played better. I wish we could say the same for our own Edmonton Oilers, 4-1 losers on the island today. The game started out with the Oilers playing very well in the first few shifts. Actually, the kid line started the game, which is unusual, and they played very well. Then there was a penalty. Ben Eager got a penalty early on, and as it turned out, a power play goal for John Tavares at 3:44 of the first period, putting the Islanders up. Sam Gagner scored from Potter and Sutton at 12:58 of the first period to tie the game, but a late first period goal. It was Sutton who pinched, and as it turned out, Matt Molson scoring the 2-1. That was an even strength goal, 2-1 after one period. Into the second period, another power play goal on another Ben Eager penalty made it 3-1. P.A. Parenteau scored his seventh of the year from Molson and Nielsen. And then about a minute later, Matt Martin, the guy that Ben Eager wanted to throttle, scored the goal for the New York Islanders, his fourth of the year, and that made it 4-1, and that was the final score in the game. The big stats are Eager's 16 penalty minutes. That's, obviously there was a situation going on there that with regard to Martin that that Ben Eager didn't handle very well, or at least it impacted the game with two power play goals. Tanner Hall was minus two, but apparently hit a lot of posts and crossbars, so he was a player today, and you could see him coming as far as getting better, coming off the injury and scoring goals. He's posting points most nights, and it looks like it was one of those games where the Edmonton Oilers really didn't have it. And unfortunately, the first two games, the Minnesota game and this game today, were the contests that most people felt were the easiest for them to win on this particular road schedule. So that's the absolute killer for the Oilers, and it's unfortunate too, because you know, it looks like they kind of got derailed a little bit with some penalties, couldn't get back, not sure how well Dubnyk played, looked like the kid line was doing well, Gagne's line obviously scored a goal, and you know, as it turns out, the Edmonton Oilers lose again and are farther down in the standings. They're 13th in the conference now. Really disappointing after that 8-2-2 start, and Nikolai Habibulin's brilliant goaltending early on. Dubnyk was a part of that as well. But once again, the culprits are injuries, inexperience, specifically on the back line, and some suspension problems as well thrown in for good measure with Andy Sutton. But as we look forward to, and we talked about this with Jonathan Willis in the first hour, as we look forward to the rest of the winter time and the trade deadline, it all has to, I think, point to the draft. Another draft that they'll be drafting in the top, you know, six or seven selections, looks like now. And that's reasonable to assume that that's going to happen now, because unless they go on a wild winning streak, the Oilers, who sit 13th in the conference right now after 36 games, they're 7 points back of Phoenix, who are in 12th spot, and they're 9 points back of 8th place. But there are so many teams above them, even if they do go on a hot streak, it's extremely unlikely that they're going to be able to catch enough teams to be a factor in the playoffs. So the away record is 3 wins, 10 losses, and 5 overtime losses. It's 5-12-1, and it looks like that's going to be a continuing problem for the young Edmonton Oilers, as you would expect. Road games more difficult. The positives were the 8-2-2 start, the fact that there are some players at the trade deadline who are going to be attractive options for other teams. Nikolai Habibulin, possibly Alex Hemsky, although one hopes that a contract would be discussed as well, because he's a player who could definitely help them down the line. Guys like Sutton, they always have value, those defensemen at the trade deadline, and he's an individual who can do some things and certainly has had calm feet. Maybe a Potter as well, and the Edmonton Oilers looking forward. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been a brilliant power play player. The Calder Trophy, it's not his. You don't ever want to say that. Injury and slumps and all of those things can impact, but he's a guy who's off to a brilliant start and someone who hopefully will be the first actual winner of a Calder Trophy by an Edmonton Oiler player. Hall and Eberle are wonderful hockey players, and I think Pajarvi going down to the minor leagues is a positive, believe it or not, because he's posting points there now. He's getting a lot of playing time. When he does come back, they'll insert him right into the lineup as a regular. He was so healthy scratch so often, as you recall, and for a 20-year-old, as Steve Tambellini said, that's a, you know, terrible option to have a 20-year-old sitting in the press box every night at the NHL level when you can send him down and have him play. So looking forward to the summertime and the draft, I think the Oilers obviously have Smead and Gilbert as defensemen they can count on. They've got a lot of young kids, and maybe they are going to have to offload some of them among Petrie and Peckham and all of those young players, because, you know, you can't keep them all. And the real question that we have to ask ourselves now is, can the Edmonton Oilers count on Ryan Whitney? And if they can't, are they searching for two NHL-caliber defensemen who can play in the top four in the summertime? That's, I think, the lesson of the last number of games, because bottom line, the Edmonton Oilers are overmatched defensively, and these young players up front are doing the job. The kid line is doing the job, especially on the power play, and this is a team that is just not good enough. And if Nikolai Habibulin is traded, you've got goaltending and defense to address in the summertime. I want to thank all of our guests. We enjoyed very much, specifically Jonathan Willis, who came in and spent an hour with us, enjoyed it thoroughly. And, of course, Scott Taylor as well, who took a walk, 2-hour walk today in Winnipeg. And it's a beautiful day there, too. Enjoy the World Juniors tonight, Canada, USA. Wow, that's going to be a good one. Have a great New Year's, everyone.